Good morning and greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing to be gathered here together in the house of God. Special greetings to you from Kirkwood, and it's good to be here. Yeah, I saw Brother Claire here this morning, and I thought maybe I should go somewhere else and just let him have part. And what some of you may not have been able to see, but I think I saw is that his devotions was an abbreviation of a sermon, so he had much more to go there yet, and I would have been okay with just letting that, but I will take my responsibility here as well this morning. I've enjoyed the worship, and I truly believe it is worship this morning because every aspect has been focusing on God and the all-sovereign power of God, and what I want to talk about this morning is a continuation of that. The theme of God's power. One thing I did want to mention here just at the beginning of the service as well, me and my family do not plan to stay around very long after the service because till I realized it was my turn to come here this morning, we already had lunch plans in Mount Pleasant Mills about an hour and a half away from here, so we're going to leave right afterwards. Hopefully you don't mind. We will be coming back again, I'm sure. So just wanted to let you all know that as well. My message for this morning, A Miracle Is, and I have a question mark behind that, is the title for my sermon this morning. You know, miracles are something that, well, in a Christian church, I've grown up from a very young age with understanding or knowing that there are miracles throughout the Bible. We talk about them. It's very much part of our Christian life that we understand that a lot of them happened, especially in Jesus' day. Jesus performed a lot of miracles. We think about, well, there's probably a few that happened in the Old Testament that we could name off. And I feel my sermon this morning is only scratching the surface as I try to take a broad look at miracles and try to just kind of go across the Bible, look at a couple of them, look at a few different aspects of the miracles, and maybe even try to talk a little bit about miracles today. And I feel like I'm not probably going to completely do justice to the whole subject. I'm not going to. But the question that, you know, as you start off thinking about miracles is, how many miracles do you think happened that are recorded in God's Word? You know, well, like I said before, well, in Jesus' day, there was quite a few. We could probably start counting, but throughout the whole Bible, and if Doug and Londell, could you pass these papers out? And I apologize for the amount of people here this morning. I think I underprinted, so maybe every other person at best. I printed 50 copies, so just try to divide them out and back through if you don't mind. How many miracles are there? Well, as you'll see on these papers, and it's not even to know where to start and stop on exactly what was a miracle is maybe sometimes a little bit difficult. But you'll see on this paper that there's about 83 recorded in the Old Testament, and there's about 80 found in the New Testament. And when I saw those numbers, or when I started working at putting some of that together, I was kind of astonished at how many we actually have recorded. And there's probably more things there that you could add that could be considered a miracle. In Jesus' day alone, or miracles that Jesus did that are recorded in the Gospels, is 38 of those. And so the list goes on, and you'll see a very long list there. You can keep those papers, use it for some references in the future. I just want to start by reading a couple accounts of a couple miracles, and we're going to start in Genesis 1, and you can turn in your Bibles there, and I don't have the time here this morning, I don't feel, to read the whole account of creation. But as you'll notice, I have chosen a couple different ones, stories of miracles. There's miracles that happen that are supernatural happenings to things around us, which we know the very start of the earth, the sun, the moon, and stars, we can say that is very supernatural. It was created by God. It was a miracle because it's not something that man can duplicate or do again. And I was going to read a definition here. is a miracle is an extraordinary event that goes against nature, cannot be explained by science, and that Christians believed is caused by God. It is an extraordinary event that goes against nature. It is something out of the normal. It could be, as I said already, labeled supernatural, something that is not natural, cannot be explained by science. You see, when we think of science, the goal of true science is to look at things that happen on Earth that repeat itself, that happen again and again, and you can start to base things off of that. A very simple illustration of science would be the clock hanging on the wall. We have 24 hours, and that is from the sunrise of one day to the sunrise of the next day. I mean, and that is very predictable, and man has, out of that science, they have created a way of us keeping time. The calendar is another very simple thing of science, and the list goes on. And men have made very complex things by the study of science by the study of the consistency of the earth around us. So when something that goes against that consistency or against that natural way, we call it supernatural, that's when we tend to label it as a miracle, because it's not something that continually happens naturally or that it's out of order. And as I mentioned before, we as Christians believe that this is caused by God. Now, you could ask the question, does an atheist believe in miracles? Some would probably very strongly say, no, we don't believe in miracles, because they think that miracles are something that is often connected with God's power or the power in the Bible, or recorded in the Bible. But to stop and think about the whole belief of, let's say, even evolution, and you say they don't believe in miracles, if somebody argues they don't believe in miracles, we'll say the whole thing of evolution and life coming out of the ocean and life progressing, that goes against science. So technically they also would believe in miracles in a different way. So back to my thoughts here in Genesis, if you're turned there in your Bible, the first miracles that this, I believe, that we have recorded, just going to start at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was out without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Just going to stop right there. So this was something that was going against, or that was different than had been before. Just by God speaking the word, things were changing. And this was the first day of what we would call creation. And it took place over a six-day period of time, and things were created. Things came into existence. There was something new. It was, I believe, the very first miraculous thing that we have recorded. I'm not saying God Himself is it. As you think about miracles and study miracles, it stretches my human mind beyond what I can actually envision or comprehend, because God Himself is all-powerful, and He can do anything, and so anything that God does is that miracles. But what we're looking at here is the miracles that exist here on this earth that we can see or that have been recorded. Go a few more chapters in Genesis to Genesis 5. Here was another miracle that was recorded. And just one verse here I wanted to pull out. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So here was a man. We know, probably most of us know the story of Enoch. He walked with God. He was a godly man. He feared God. He walked with him, and it says God took him. And we believe that meant that he took him to heaven, or he took him out of this earth, and he never saw death. So here we see that miracles not only can happen in nature around us, but it's something that can take place and happen to an individual. Here is something that was supernatural. It was out of the natural ordinary that happened to a man. And everybody I know this morning, everybody I know that is no longer with us has died. I think there's only about two times in the Bible that it's recorded that men were taken out of this earth without death. And so that's why we say that's not exactly a common occurrence. Now, if God would have planned that when our life is over here, just one morning we would disappear and somebody would be gone, then we wouldn't call that a miracle. But because it is not a natural occurrence, we view it as something supernatural or a miracle. Go a few more chapters, actually, next two chapters to Genesis 17. I'm sorry, Genesis 7, verse 17. And this was a larger, could you say, miracle that affected a lot of people that were living on the then known earth. It was a large miracle that had a large consequences, or it had a broad-reaching effects. And that's in 7, verse 17. And this here is the account of the flood. Just want to take the time, I think, to read starting at 17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh did die that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of creeping things that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. I think I'll stop reading there. Again, this was something that happened to the whole earth. It covered the whole earth. It was, if we would go later on in the story, we would see where God promised to never do that again, to destroy the earth with a flood. He gave a promise to mankind saying, it was a one-time occurrence, and it's never, that exact thing is not never going to happen again. So we see that again would probably be the nature or the earth, something that out of the ordinary God calls to be different upon the earth. Turn to Judges 16, verse 3. So the first three there that I looked at were, well, creation was the beginning. The next one was God working in a person's life, and he pulled him out of this world. The next one was the change of nature around us. But you see, some miracles are actually things that humans do that are supernatural. And that is in Judges 16, verse 3. And this here is the story of Samson, and I'm just going to pull out that one verse. The story is much greater than that, but again, we do not have the time. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight. And so here, Samson was in the city of Gaza, and he was they were trying to trap him there. And he arose at midnight and took the doors of the gates of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them on his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the hill, that is, before Hebron. I just want to stop there. So this here was a very supernatural display of strength. This was not physically feasible for a human man to do. I don't have the exact things here, exactly how much that weighed, but to take the doors of the city, posts and all, and carry them up a very high hill or onto the top of a hill and then set them down. This was not something that any of the men here can do this morning. I'm sorry, young men, I know you're strong, probably stronger than me, but you don't have that physical capability of picking up these doors and walking off, or the gates and walking off with them. That's why, again, a supernatural, it was a miracle. It was God giving him extra strength above what is natural for a human man. So again, that was a miracle that happened through a person. Turn to 1 Kings 17. I tried to lay them out as kind of going through the Bible so we don't have to page around quite as much, so they will be as we go through the Bible here. Again, this is another miracle that happened, that God worked through people who did what he had asked them to, but what was more supernatural is the things that they had that changed. Again, 1 Kings 17, verse 12, and this here is a widow and her son, and starting at verse 12, and she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me there of a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. We'll stop reading there. Another miracle that happened, an Old Testament miracle here, where something, the oil and the meal, they were earthly provisions that, as we all know, we go to our pantries and after a bit they get all. The flour is all. The oil is all. It's how it works, because if we use out of it, it will eventually get all. But here, every time they went back, there was still some there. And how did that multiply or how did that grow? We don't know exactly, except it was miraculous. It was a miracle that took place there. Could also think of another time when another widow, that she had to gather all the bottles from her neighbors, and she had this one small cruse of oil, and she filled those bottles, and she was able to sell that and be able to pay the debts that she owed. Again, it was God multiplying earthly provisions in order to help someone out. Did you know that some of the miracles that happen are also miracles that God directs the animals? You can turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. We see that God can work through the earth, the provisions of the earth. He can work through people, but some miracles he actually works through animals. 2 Kings 2. In verse 24, and probably many of the younger children here know this story as well. So this is when Elisha was coming back through. Elijah, I believe, was no longer there. The Lord had taken him. And he turned back and looked on them. Let me go back and get verse 23. "And he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the woods and tare 42 children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he turned to Samaria." This was a little miraculous happening, because I do believe that it probably was not natural for two bears to be in the woods at this exact place and come out at that exact time and just tear these children apart, 42 children. Just think, if you have a crowd of 42 children or maybe even more together, I don't know that there'd be many bears close by. You know, that they tend to naturally be scared away. So this here, God worked through that in order to teach some people a lesson, or to maybe show his power, to show that he was with this Elisha now that Elijah was gone. So he can orchestrate, or he can have control over all of creation. He can have man, the actual earth, science, and also with animals. Also did want to take the time to look at a few of Jesus' miracles, because that's where my mind, as I had studied for this sermon, my mind first went to what the miracles that Jesus had done here on this earth. I want to take a look at his first miracle, and that's in John chapter 2. All of us, I would think, know this story because it's very common, or we think about this one because of it being Jesus' first miraculous thing that he did right here. The thing that I see different from the Old Testament miracles to the New Testament miracles is that the Old Testament miracles were happenings that God did, the sovereign power, but yet there was no earthly person there actually doing it. When you think about Jesus being here on this earth, he is part of the Godhead. So he was God on earth, and he was actually here physically doing things right in front of people's eyes. They would see another person do these miraculous things. Whereas the Old Testament, yes, we know that God directed the bears, that God directed the flood, that God directed the taking up of Enoch, but yet he was distant at that time. He was not there but here Jesus, or God, was right with people, and he started to do these miracles right in front of their eyes. John 2:1, and on the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage, and they went. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto them, "They have no wine." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother said unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And there were set there 3 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, "Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now." The beginning of the miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. We see that these miracles that Jesus did, and I believe he was God, so he had the ability to do it, but we'll look a little bit more that he was doing them so that people would believe on him, so that they would realize he was Jesus, he was the Son of God. And the list of miracles that Jesus did is long. I don't think I'm going to take much more time to read other ones. We know a lot of them. Some of you that have the papers can look down across it. He raised people to life. He caused fish to do what he wanted to fill the nets. He healed lame men, sick people, healed eyes. He made them see again. He multiplied food for people. The list goes on. He did anything that, or he did a lot of different things that were out of the ordinary, and they were miracles. We also could look at a number of the early apostles were also blessed with doing miracles right in front of people's eyes. We think about, it says in Acts 6:8 that Stephen did great miracles. I don't know what that all was. That's all we have there, I think, recorded of him. And what was it, Paul that raised Dorcas to life? There was actually some early apostles that brought people back to life again. But what we think about this overarching thing of miracles, and they have a greater purpose than what they were just accomplishing at that time. I do believe that they all had a very distinctive reason for what they were doing. We can look back in the Old Testament. You know, the flood was to kill those who were bad and to try to start the earth fresh. Or you can think about Samson. It was, I believe, God's time of working with Samson was not over, so he gave him this supernatural. The thing of Elijah, the bears tearing the children, was to help prove to the people that this was God's chosen prophet. Jesus was, his miracles were there to show that he was God. But the overarching thing that I want us to think about even more this morning is that miracles happen to glorify God. miracles are, we need to think about all miracles are to draw our attention to a higher power. We need to, I believe that if you think on miracles in that way, that it is to draw our attention to someone greater, someone higher than us. It helps us understand more fully maybe why God allows these things to happen. As I mentioned before, miracles are, we as Christians view miracles as coming from God, and many of them do, but there is some miracles that are actually not from God. And I do want to turn back and look at, in Exodus 7, we see that God has power above nature, we know he's great and powerful, but Satan too has a limited amount of power, and he will use that power to try to duplicate what God does. And in so doing, he can do, and through people, he can do things that are above science or that are supernatural. And we don't have time to take this to read this whole story, but we know about Moses and Aaron coming into the presence of Pharaoh, and they would do these miracles, or they would call, or the plagues would happen. And this here story in 7 was when Aaron's rod became a serpent, and see if I can pull, I don't have it down to the verse there, but maybe verse 10, and Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did as the Lord had commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servant, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantment. So I believe they cast down their rods and they became serpents too. For they cast down every man his rod and there became a serpent. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Again, they had a power, a ability to duplicate what God was doing in that small sense. But again, we see God showed himself strong, I believe, in Aaron's rod swallowing the rods of the other. It had a power over the rest. They had their secret arts. They were magicians. They were sorcerers. They were tapping into a power that was not from God, and they were able to do some things. I want you to remember that as we go through this section here, because I believe there will come a time when there will be some things. Well, the Bible says there will be things that will happen, and we should not be deceived. Satan has the power to perform miracles. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. Satan will himself appear as an angel of light. He draws, and he'll use that to draw people away from God. He's going to portray himself as being somebody who is an angel of light, or a holy person, a righteous person, someone who is of God and not of darkness. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 24, verse 21. Matthew 24, verse 21. And I believe this here, it was Jesus talking, and I believe he was talking about things that were to come, and probably even maybe yet to come today. Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever will be. And except those days which shall be shortened, there shall be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Again, I believe there is a time coming when it's talking about false prophets, and they will show great signs and wonders. They will do things that were miraculous. Miracles will happen by them so that they can deceive the very elect, or the Christians, or the children of God. That their goal is to deceive them. And so I think we need to be aware of that and be warned of that, that just because it is miraculous is not 100% mean that it is from God, because they also have an element of power as well. One thing I had to think about is going back to my thought about the overarching, or the thing about the bigger purpose of miracles, is that God would receive the honor and glory. And when men or humans do miracles, and it seems like they are taking the credit or they are taking the honor and the glory, I would question that if they are truly miracles of God. Because if a person is doing something miraculous and then becoming popular or famous or making money because of it, they're not giving God the honor and glory, and I don't think God will work that way. I know God will not work that way, because he does the miracles through people so that he can receive honor and glory. You could think about the story in Acts 16, where the girl was following around. I think it was Paul and she had this spirit of divination, and she was able to tell people their future. She could tell them what was going to come, and people were making money off of it, and she had a power that you could say was miraculous. But do you know what happened when Paul told the evil spirit to leave her? The men became very angry, very, very upset with him, because they knew that their power or their gain was gone. And again, I believe that shows a miracles or something that was supernatural was happening that was not of God, because they were the ones making profit off of the miracles. There's also in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 8, and talks about during the tribulation, the Antichrist will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. These miracles are explicitly said to be empowered by Satan in the end time. There will be, and there again in those verses, it was very much of a futuristic of times when Satan will use lies and deceptive powers in order to try to gain more followers and people. The last few minutes of my message here, I would like to touch a little bit about, do miracles happen today? Do miracles still happen today? We talked about Old Testament, we talked about New Testament, we talked about the early church. And then somewhere along the line, it seems like, especially after the New Testament church, that the actual physical outworkings of miraculous things had tapered off. And it's a question that I've thought about for some time. I prepared this sermon a good while back, and I think we all know of some miraculous happenings that have happened to people, to Christians, maybe not to quite the great extent as the early church. I don't know of anybody who was actually raised to life, anybody who was that was blind that was healed by somebody touching them. But let us never forget that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just because some things have changed slightly does not mean that he has changed. And in many ways, he continues to be the same. The real challenge, I do believe, for us as Christians today is to be able to recognize the miracles that Jesus does around us. Our human nature may tend to think that it is just coincidence that things happen or things fall in place. And again, I want to say that sometimes we see the miraculous things that happen around us, and we praise the Lord for it, and it's wonderful, and we glorify God for that. What about the times that God did not work miraculously and left tragic things happen, or things come into our lives that he could have prevented? Does God not love us because of that, or is God not here with us? And the answer is no. But I wanted more focus on the side of giving God the honor and the glory for when things are supernatural. As I mentioned before, the word miracle is very difficult to define. What actually counts as a miracle, and I tried to explain that a little bit in the beginning, You know, there's natural ways that God has created for us to be healed. We find those in doctors and hospitals and medicine cabinets and herbs, and the list goes on. And we can find natural healing. But when Jesus heals someone supernaturally, it means that he does something more than doctors and nurses and medicine or science are unable to do or even explain. And so that, again, maybe kind of helps us to verify what is miraculous. You know, the sun coming up every morning is a wonder. The consistent changing of seasons, the safety we have when driving down the road, the list is long. If we stop and take time to deliberately think about it and notice the wonders around us and give God the glory for it, it's consistent, and we may say, well, no, is it actually a miracle? But it is a wonder that is outside of man's control. It is something above and beyond what God or man can do. I also believe that there are maybe more miraculous things that take places where, in places where it is darker areas of the earth, or where on the frontiers of mission efforts or in church expansions, is often where you see maybe God showing himself more strong. The darker the area, the more God has maybe the ability, or God chooses to show himself strong through people, through circumstances. You may know of stories of missionaries or people in other countries or inner city church work where God has showed himself strong. And sometimes I wonder, do we, living in a comfortable America where things can go fairly smoothly, are we not close enough? Do we not have enough of faith and trust in God that he is willing to work through us? Just some questions I have that I feel I do not have answers here this morning for. But let us never forget that miracles, I do believe, still happen around us everywhere and oftentimes. Just think about the times that something has taken place in your life that it could have been a lot worse, whether it was driving down the road or something on the farm or something at work or even in the house. Do we just chalk it up as that was coincidence? It was just coincidence that we missed hitting that person, or we missed this happening? Or do we view it as something miraculous, that there was a supernatural power at work in our lives? I know in my own life too often I just say, well, yeah, it was just a coincidence that happened, that I'm glad that it was just kind of the working of things around me, that things came together in that way. But let's look to God. Let's give God the honor and the glory, because that's still what he wants from us as Christians today. It's what he wanted all throughout the Bible and even in the New Testament church. And that's why he was showing himself strong. And when he shows himself strong, let's be sure to give him the honor and the glory. We could think about the recent happenings in Haiti, and God showed himself strong. There's no doubt about it. But there are some who probably would like to take God out of the picture and say, well, it was a coincidence happening, that all things came together in the right way. No, God is showing himself powerful to us today. And he continues to show himself powerful to each of us who were willing to serve him. Maybe we'd be willing to give him the honor and the glory for all that happens in our life, whether good or bad, but let us be willing to give him the honor and the glory. Let's kneel together for prayer.